hell is just about to break loose in your country. We've lost our moral compass. In the last days, a good book says, perilous times will come, and it's coming here.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Perilous World Radio. I'm Alan Masters. Brian Boteller is here with me today once again, and he does a show once a week with us. He and I just talk about everything under the sun.
It's true.
And it's getting deeper and deeper, though, in our personal lives as we get to know each other better. It's true. We start sharing more little things, of which I don't want you to share any of that.
Yeah, you can't have personal stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just playing with you.
You know, because then if you pick it out and you show the camera in front of the camera and everybody's like, ew,
what's
that?
I can't unsee that. When you were 23 years old, I don't want to know.
Right. I'm like, this is the part of the buffalo we don't even eat. You know, I mean, it's just gross.
But I do want to talk about, because my dad, one of the, it's like when he was leaving this world, in the last, I'm going to say, year or two as he was winding down his life, if I said there was one theme towards the end of my dad's life, after writing all these books and lecturing and being on the radio for 50, 60 years and
doing— Let me guess. It was like pastrami sandwiches, son. I want a good pastrami sandwich.
That too.
It was that too. Oh, okay.
And eat more butter.
Eat more butter.
But the theme would have been around one word, real simple, with what I saw from my dad, which is he'd hold his hand up and he'd say, calm. Calm. And I remember when he was doing this, because it kind of stands out in my mind. Every now and then I'd come in and I'd be like, I'm doing this, you know, and I'd have all this energy, right? Because I come in from all these things I'm involved with in my life. And, mm-hmm. and he's like, what have you been doing lately? And then and he's like, calm, calm. And I'm like,
tell me slower, son.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Slow down.
Breathe while you're doing it.
And so the other day I was watching the news and it hit me like a ton of bricks. There was a guy on there, and man, he was motor mouth. He was like he was an auctioneer.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, I go, that guy talks way too fast. She goes, he does. And I wanted to hold my hand up to the TV and go, calm. So I this morning, a friend of mine posted something about all of the goings on politically with Iran and all, you know, Israel and all these things that are going on, and how it doesn't seem like, you know, Trump has got, you know, control over what's going on with Iran. It's been too long. And now the House has passed some bill where he has, you know, how do I say
it? Trying to limit him.
Limited strength of warfare, you might say. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, and what came to my mind was, calm, just calm down, wait. Trump's superpower is patience. Mm. Patience is a virtue. And if patience is a virtue, then I want to be virtuous. So guess what? When I don't know, so people are getting all frothed up like, well, look what he's done. He hasn't done what he said he was going to do. And he said it would only take one day. And it's been, I don't know what's it been, a couple months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, calm down, because he's patient. He also knows that he doesn't have control over the outcome, that God is the only one. So he himself probably has to say, we'll just wait. Give him another day. Give him another week. Give him another whatever.
Every great now and then you'll see me wearing a T-shirt that says, by what standard? On it. And really, it's when somebody says, but it's been too long. Who says? But you know, what's the standard of too long? You know, and you know, we hear, oh, he's got us in endless wars. We've been at war for 6 months. It's not endless. 6 months, you know, but in a news cycle that feels
like
forever.
Has it even been 6 months?
I'm not sure if it's been 6 months.
Like three,
but,
maybe.
But again, you know, it's just the idea of you know, where's our standards? And this is part of our dilemma as a culture and a country is we just throw accusations out all over the media. They do it from the dais of the, you know, the Senate and the House, you know, in the House of Representatives. They just throw out information and accusations. And again, it's as if they've like lost a genuine standard. What is your true north? Where is your standard? And without a standard, then how do I know I should be anxious? You know, why am I anxious right now? How do I know I should be upset when they say that's just wrong? Define right and wrong for me.
Right.
You know, or you know, this president did this and it was really good. Define good for me. And I think right now we are a nation largely adrift from our moral compass. And I think that it's brilliant that the president and his staff are pointing back to scriptures as a standard, because the scriptures preceded us. The scriptures were true long before we were born. They don't care about our dilemma right now. They were true, and they would be true if we were never born.
Right.
And so looking for that objective standard is our thing. And if not the scriptures, then what? But I think that that's a good starting point. Finding the standard of you know, where do we go, and what's the, and again, that anxiety. Here's what it does. When you have that standard, it brings calm, because it gives you an objective sense of through which to look at the reality that's around you.
Okay, a good comment here from our Rumble page. By the way, you can watch the show live because it's video fed on multiple sites, YouTube, Rumble, and X, and it's also audio only on Spaces on X. But from Eyes to See 333, it says it took about a year of escalating devastation and 10 plagues before the Pharaoh finally submitted to Moses' demand to let the Israelites go. Trump and Iran are negotiating. So I put that in there because I was thinking, well, how long has it been? It says the current 2026 Iran conflict is generally dated to February 28th of 2026, when the United States and Israel launched coordinated strikes against Iranian military and nuclear-related targets.
So we're barely at 4 months. We're 3.5 months.
Yeah. Three months. Yeah. I mean, like 90 days?
I know. You listen to the angst, and it's just like, oh, he promised never to put us in forever wars and all this stuff. And we're like, we're not in forever war. We're in a 3 month thing. And you look at he's got done.
Right.
In 3 months.
Compared to Moses. Moses took a whole year.
I know Moses, man.
Trump's only at 90 days. Wonder if Moses had orange
hair. Did Moses have orange hair? Do you think?
No, they said, somebody said, what was it? Janet said the Dems' standard is orange man bad.
Yeah, it's true.
And destroy America. Yeah. So what would have hit brown man bad? Moses was probably a brown man.
Yeah.
Stuttering man bad. Right, that's what it was.
Because right, you know, yeah, maybe he just had a lisp.
No, and
he was
stuttered.
Moses, let my people go.
No, no, don't wreck it.
God will never take, they'll never take you seriously when you say that.
As far as I'm concerned, Charlton Heston was Moses.
Yeah, that's true.
And
it's
God true. Brought him back that's and right. said, all right, I'm going to let you play this part in this movie called right? The Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I watched something the other day. There's another movie about Moses, or a TV show.
Yep. I saw that.
And it's got...
Is it made by the same guys that did the David series?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got the one good actor in it plays Moses, and I don't think he does a great job. And so I actually was talking to somebody. I said, I don't like, you know, this guy who's playing Moses, the bald guy. I can't think of his name.
Right.
Captain Bouchard or whatever his name is Star Trek.
Yeah.
Wasn't the same guy. But
not
anyway.
The same guy, but yeah.
He played, actually, that guy played Gandhi. That's who it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. He plays these oddball characters that are kind of like swamis
didn't think he played a good Moses. And I actually it got to the point where Charlton Heston did such a good job that I don't want to wreck it in my mind. And then here right. comes this other Moses. It was just didn't have the character. I want to see, I, you know, it's fantasy. A little kid in me wants to see, you know, that handsome guy that came down off the mountain with the silver hair,
yep.
you know, yep. And long hair. And anyway, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down, and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people, just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water. You are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing. Another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, you are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water.
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Brian Boteller's in the house today. I'm Alan Masters, Perilous World Radio. So the theme of the whole thing here today is calm. And what is calm? I don't know. You know, people could say, I am calm. Stop it. I'm like, that's
right.
Calm?
Yeah. Right.
No. Calm is really, it's, to me, it's like, how do I explain this? So lately, I told somebody that I have felt stress for the first time in years. I felt stress when my dad was, you know, going to die and eventually did. But I had to push it all aside and I had to say, nope, because he left me in charge. I have to deal with all this crap. I mean, people don't think about burying your own father until you have to do it. And father and mother, because they passed away like a month apart. And all of the things that go into it, you know, what are you going to find a place to bury him? I said, my dad's a Jew, you know, I mean, he says that Christianity is Judaism fulfilled. Right?
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to get a good deal. So I went to the cemetery over here and I said, listen, I need a good deal. I'm sorry. I got to have a good space and I got to have a good deal because my dad, he's a fulfilled Jew and I got the Jewish blood. She says, well, you're not going to believe this. This is so funny. Let's tell this world the story. I said that to her. I guess I was joking a little bit, but I that's how I
you were being good humored about
go
it.
Out into life. I mean, you're at a cemetery, you know, beautiful right. cemetery up here in town in Grants Pass, Oregon. And I said to the lady who I've never met before, I told her the story, and she says, "You're not going to believe this." She says, "We have a couple that just moved back to Arizona where they're from, and they had bought their cemetery plots." And this is morbid talk, but it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And she says, I guess if you wanted to make an offer on these two cemetery plots.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, where are they?" And they're next to this beautiful oak tree. And so she walked me down there, and there was a friend of mine right there that had passed away.
Okay.
I'm like, heck, their bones are going to be right next to his bones.
Yeah.
They could have like a cup of tea together, yeah. you know?
Right.
So I said, "Well, I'm like two for the price of one." And she's like, "Oh, well, you know, you're going to have to make the offer." Anyway, they took it.
And they
threw in all these other things that, you know, you need when nice. You're putting somebody in the ground.
Nice.
And I thought, my dad's going to be so happy.
That's right. Because
he was already passed away.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
He knows. I got a good deal for you,
that's
Dad.
That's right.
And Mom. Anyway, but my dad used to say, "Don't go to the graveyard and visit me when I'm gone, because I won't be there. Just my old there. Bones.
So true.
But anyway, everything you have to deal with. So yeah, there was stress. But lately in my life, I've had my self-inflicted stress. Stress that you get from other people is another thing. But when you create your own stress mm-hmm. from your own choices and decisions in life.
Mm-hmm.
So lately I've been sitting back quietly, observing, watching. And I hear my dad say, "Calm, calm." And I realize, you know, what does it say in the Bible? "Be still and know that I am God." Be still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
stillness, mm-hmm. calmness. There's a certain something where when you are not caught up in the swirling mess of thought,
mm-hmm.
you actually can see what to do.
Yeah, it's you know, the scriptures are full of this, of very calming words like this to somebody who knows and believes in God. You know, where you'll say things like, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings,
yeah.
in all your ways acknowledge him, yep. and he will direct your path." And so we sit and go, ah, we bring, I think our Heavenly Father says, calm.
Yeah.
Calm.
So, you too, in your life with, you know, running the gospel rescue mission, dealing with homeless people and stuff, I yelled at a homeless guy this morning. Yes.
Oh, man. What was he doing?
Well, so in our behind this building that I have, it was all these dumpsters and what have you in the parking lot.
You come work with me for half a day, I guarantee you, so you'll yell at another one in no time.
Well, I mean, at some point, the police cannot go through your trash.
Right.
But the bums and the homeless people are welcome to it, right?
Mm.
The police can get in big trouble and get
Well, it's still
fired.
Private property.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But the bums can get inside of your dumpster
yeah.
and root around and sleep in there if they want. Mm. Sometimes they'll die in there, but mm-hmm. they do things that you're not supposed to do. So I opened the window and there was a guy in there just kind of throwing stuff out on the ground.
Yeah.
And I said, "Get out of that dumpster!" And really loud, right?
Yeah.
And then I closed the window and he was like in there and he kind of looks up and I was gone already.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know where it came from. It was the voice, screaming voice of God, anyway. And you know what? He cleaned up all the stuff.
Did he?
He cleaned it up and left.
Okay.
In the meantime, I was calling the police, and I go, wait. He's cleaning up. He's picking, wait a minute. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. He's picking up, and he's cleaning up, and it looks like he's about to leave. Yep, there he goes.
I asked one of our former conscience was pricked. I asked a former chief of police. I said, "Is it illegal to shoot somebody with a paintball gun?" He said, "No." And I said, I could get a youth group.
Yes!
I could get a youth group and make this an activity, you know, and everything like that. Make this like a competition sport.
What's that called? That's that Hunger Games.
Yeah, right. And he was like, he said, "It's not illegal." He said, "You know, you may have to deal with the morality of it, you know, and everything like that." And, But I was like, you know that, you know, I said, does it matter if like one out of every 10 paintballs is frozen solid, you know, just stick it in the freezer and then, you know, so that every one of them, every now and then one will just hit and hurt.
Wow. No, but you know what, if you did it with a fluorescent paint.
They make them with these little pepper capsules. So they go, and it's like getting sprayed with pepper spray.
Oh my!
And they're made for crowd control.
But the thought is, if you did that, because I mean I'm two stories up.
Yeah.
And it's down there, and I'm always seeing these homeless, and these are rough looking people. I don't want him to see me.
Yep.
Because if he sees me, where this voice is coming from. Then you go into that parking lot later on and he's there with a knife and he shivs you in the butt cheek or somewhere else.
Yeah.
That kid in England that got killed, he's like, I can't breathe. You know, the cops apologized to him. I don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
So I made sure that he was all the way in the dumpster and all he could do was hear this booming voice.
Yeah.
But if you could, if you shot him with that fluorescent, then you could call the cops and say, if you're looking for a guy with fluorescent paint, he was in my dumpster.
Yep.
And yes, I did shoot him with a paintball.
Yeah, right, right.
Because you know what? If it's illegal for them, it's illegal.
Right,
period.
Right.
So take another break.
There you go.
This is actually getting to be fun.
I didn't know
you had a dark side like this. We'll take a little break. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
All right, Brian Boteller's here with me. I'm Alan Masters, Perilous World Radio, FHU.com, and...
Gospel Rescue Mission...
Gotcha.
There's two of them. There's gospelrescuemissiongp.org and there's grantspassmission.org.
Not an easy job.
Yeah.
Not an easy job. You have...
You caught me.
The fact that your brain... can actually still have a sense of humor after dealing with homeless people every day in the way. And I'm talking about your board of directors and everybody.
Man.
They're all homeless too, right?
Yeah,
the homeless overseeing the homeless.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts in running a gospel rescue mission.
Gosh.
And trying to figure out, you know, what you do. I mean, everybody wants to just reduce it down to food, clothing, and shelter. And I'm like, that's the absolute worst way to deal with it. It'll include all of those things, but you can't reduce it. Don't be reductionistic. You've got to think about what does this human being need to actually function and not be homeless again? And you think about they need money. Okay, well, how are they going to get money? Well, they need a job. Okay, well, they need a job, but how are they going to keep a job? Oh, yeah, they're relationally just you can't sit and have a good conversation with them.
You know,
we got to fix that.
And somebody says right here, it says, first of all, it would be legally battery to shoot those guys, is what they said about with a paintball gun.
Yeah.
Salted shotgun shells were used for two-legged varmints.
Well, the question is like, if they won't enforce the no loitering laws, somebody being on private property in messing with your private property laws, if they won't do that, what makes me think that they're going to enforce a battery law? Here's why they would do it. And here's why they do it with somebody like you or me. It's because you and I are law keepers, and this person is a law breaker.
Right.
And law keepers already if the cop says stop, we stop. You know, if somebody says this is illegal, we're like, ooh, we don't want to break the law. We want to be law abiding citizens. The homeless people have long thrown that out the window.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was another one I wanted to. Oh, yeah. Kim says, breaking news. California announces they have finished counting the votes. Ronald Reagan has won the 1966 governor's race.
That's great.
Babylon Bee.
That's
Babylon
so great. I love the Babylon
Mike
Bee.
Mike Jones posted something about how different countries,
yeah,
when they're voting for certain things, you know, with 26 million people and 40.
They can have them done in hours.
Yeah, yeah. 24 hours, yeah. And then 10 hours. Yeah. California has 10 million people in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. I guess, is mm-hmm. what it's for. Is it Los Angeles or the whole state? No, I guess it's just Los Angeles. Anyway, 37 days or something ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know. It's ridiculous. But yeah. All of this to say that staying calm, what does it say? If you keep your head about you when all around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, Rudyard Kipling's poem, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even built into that poem, mm-hmm. Keep your head about you. Well, that's stay calm.
Right.
And through all of my stress and all the things I've been going through, as I started talking about, we get sidetracked a lot. Lately, I've noticed that because, what is it? To whom much is given, much is expected. And yeah. To whom much is given, lots of stress comes with it. And lots of anxiety and angst and really, I think prayer and question and what needs to be added to that equation is calm. And so I've been having to just kind of sit quietly, calmly. My dad teaches a meditation exercise, be still and know. Be still and know is part of that, be still and know that I am God. This, to me, it's like God made it so simple with these Ten Commandments and then even yeah. simplified it yet. And books upon books upon books have been written. My dad wrote books on all these different kinds mm-hmm. of subjects. But the one that is the most important thing is the one he began with, how your mind can keep you well, and the meditation exercise mm-hmm. was to be still. And he left by holding his hand out calm. And sometimes I would even go, I'm being calm. He says, that's the secret. And it was like, wait a minute, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago?
You weren't listening then.
He's making sure, he was making sure for me anyway. I don't know what my other brothers and sister, but he did that a lot. And so now I'm coming to this point where in my life, I'm looking at all the things I have to deal with. And there are things that will make you mad. Mm-hmm. There are things that will not just make you mad, but upset you. Like, you know, when you have something, it's upset, it's disheveled, it's mm-hmm. moved off its axis, it's not normal. All these things, they only can be dealt with calm, with stillness, mm-hmm. because you can't fix it. You can't. We can't.
Right, right.
We have to just simply learn to, as a friend of mine once said, I need to just shut the hell up. And I went, huh? He says, yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. I need to just shut the hell up. That's really, in layman's terms, shut the hell up. Because your brain is the exact thing that says, don't lean on your own understanding.
Right.
Your brain is saying, don't listen to that.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
And this thing inside of us that makes a home in us, it will give you 100,000 excuses of why you should. Mm-hmm. And the only one that is the one we're supposed to do is to be obedient.
That's right. That's right. Have you read the book of Job?
I've read it. Yeah. You've asked that, but okay. It's like, yeah. Oh, you pull little bits and pieces out. I want to hear.
It's just got like, I mean, this calamity that befalls Job in the first two chapters. I mean, look, billions of people have been pissed at God because, in part because of the book of Job, but even more have found, well, probably not more, probably less, but happier ones have found comfort in it. And part of it is, you know, it starts off with Job finding like everything being taken from him. I mean, his kids, his camels, his everything's just taken from him, and he just sits down in sackcloth and ashes, and just weeps and laments, and he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He basically praises God, in that turmoil. And then the next chapter is like the devil gives him boils all over his body and everything.
And that's painful because I had that a couple times.
Yeah. And so, So then, his wife is like, why don't you just curse God and die? And he's like, you're talking like a foolish woman. Why would we, you know, if we would accept the good things from God, or we won't accept the bad things from God. You know, we need to be somebody who does both. Mm-hmm. And again, it says in all this stuff, Job never sinned. And Job's understanding of the world, his worldview was one in which God was in control and God is good. And those two things are things that we wrestle with. But for a Christian mind, a godly mind, is somebody who knows those things. And because they know those things, they can endure calamity. Mm-hmm. They can endure trials. They realize that God's got bigger things going on here than just what I can see in front of me. And fairness is not, you know, God's always fair. And so just understanding that in our trials, understanding that in our difficulties is the thing that helps calm us down. Mm-hmm. It helps us be still, because now we're not so busy running around in circles, you know, doing a bunch of stuff and, mm-hmm. and talking and everything. Now we're just going to stop and we're going to wait on the Lord who's in control of things. And we're going to trust in his goodness, even in our suffering. That is, somebody who understands that, you watch them go through trials, and their trials, they will amaze you at how they endure and go through difficulty. And that's where, isn't that where our faith matters most?
Jan and I watched a movie last night. I can't remember the name of it, so I'm trying to get her or my son to answer and tell me. It was a really good, really good movie. It was about the guy who wrote a song. It was a hit song. It was a Christian song.
I Can Only Imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen it? And then I Can Only Imagine,
I haven't
two?
Seen the second one. I saw the first one.
Oh, the second one is so good. Anyway, it's like if you got to watch a movie, it needs to have some value to
it. Yeah, for sure.
But it was, no matter what we endure and have to go through, the theme of the whole thing is to first of all, bring your problems to Christ.
Yep.
And lay him at his feet.
Yep.
And then realize that he's the only one that can fix them, and you. And then make sure that you are being appreciative, the fact that you have a Savior to be able to go to in that way. And right. Also that you are alive to be able to witness the miracle of his grace.
Yes.
And as you witness the miracle of this amazing grace, that's a great way of putting it, isn't
yes.
it? The amazing grace of God and Jesus. On the other side of that, we should be changed men. We should be changed human beings, mm-hmm. because we then have witnessed it. Then we are, you know.
Jesus might call that being born again.
Well, you know? The Jehovah Witness would call it the Jehovah Witness. Yeah. So I'm just saying. Just saying.
What do they know?
Anyway, yes, my wife just sent me I Can Only Imagine. You guys, write that down. I Can Only Imagine. There's two, one and two. The first one lays out the first song they did, and the second one is the second part. I won't tell you anymore because I don't want to wreck it for everybody, but it was just a really, really sweet movie.
And
corny in the beginning.
And the first one, and I don't know if it still had all the same actors in it or not, but the first one is just about the song and why the song was written.
And that's what it's called, I Can Only Imagine. Yeah. It's a very famous song now at this point. Mm-hmm. Be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters.
We'll be right back.
Imagine hearing a voice that doesn't use any words. A quiet knowing that's always right and comes from within yourself. Listening to this voice is like putting your mind on autopilot and allowing it to perform actions without your learned experience interfering. You don't know where it's coming from or why, but you definitely know that it's truthful. The good news is that your inner voice, or your sixth sense, is real, and it's called intuition. Top scientists and leaders such as Albert Einstein and Steve Jobs attributed their achievements to their gut feelings. But what makes a person more connected to their gut feeling? Who benefits from the advantages of intuition the most? The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com systematically reveals how to trust your intuition. The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com is the door to what Jonah Salk expressed. Intuition will tell the thinking mind where to look next. Be ahead of the curve, not behind it, at FHU.com. The question is, how can you unlock the full potential of your mind? If there's no conviction in people's minds, those minds change from morning to evening. However, once your mind becomes objective and centered, you see the truth free from the limitations of that human mind. Objectivity allows us to recall thoughts and memories from our life and our experiences and reflect on these impressions with increasing self-awareness. As you gain an understanding and consciousness of who you truly are and are not, objectivity enables you to then release these embedded images by recognizing that they are just illusions. As a result, you will progress beyond false beliefs that have you feeling trapped. At FHU.com, the book Meaning and Happiness by Roy Masters will show you how to deeply understand the principles of true freedom. Meaning and Happiness by Roy Masters teaches you how to live in the now. It's time to change the world rather than be changed by the world. Go to FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
All right. I'm Alan Masters. Brian Boteller's here. We're talking about the power of calm. So somebody talked about Trump, and he had, it's like, well, what has he done now? He's really messed things up. And, you know, it's like, so let me just find it and I'll respond. He says something to the effect of, view the post. All right, here it is. President Donald Trump, this is Patrick Rooney, one of my friends, had a set amount of time to wage war against Iran without getting congressional permission. I support his aims, but I don't understand why so much time was spent or wasted, trying to make peace with a regime that has thumbed its nose at peace for nearly 50 years. Now the clock has run out. Congress will make it very difficult to use the stick for persuasion. I freely admit I don't know all the details, but this general strategy doesn't seem to make sense to me. Can someone explain? My response was, I say continue watching. I found that patience, being a virtue, wins in the end. That it doesn't make sense is Trump's superpower. Because you're like, this doesn't make sense. Why is this happening? And why is that happening? And he took too long. The fact that it doesn't make sense. So I said, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
That's so true.
And I think a lot all the time, like, I don't understand 97% of everything in this whole world, alone to tell the president, why are you taking so long?
Here we are on the West Coast, and we think that because we watch some news channel that we have all the insider information.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, there's another proverb. There's Proverbs 18:17. This is one of my favorites, and it's real simple. And it says, whoever makes their case first always seems right.
Yeah.
Until someone comes and cross examines them.
Right.
And so if I keep that in the front of my mind when somebody's rushing to me to tell me a story, I'm always like, You know, it again, it brings me back to calm. When somebody goes, are you kidding? Did you hear what Alan did? He just did da 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 da. Why would he even do this? Alan's crazy and da da da. You know, and I'm like, You know, well, and they're, well, why aren't you getting upset? Because I haven't talked to Alan. You know, because why?
Yeah.
You're right. Giving me information.
Right.
Well, I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you a liar. I just only have a portion of the information, and it's the portion that you're sharing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same with the news feed.
Read that one up there at the top.
1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. That's a good verse as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing.
Paul will go on to say in that same book, he'll say, there's no temptation that's not common to all man.
Right.
So we all struggle with these things, but when we are in right relationship with God, he will give us a way of escape.
And what's interesting about that particular verse is that, you know, if you try to hold to the letter of the law like the Pharisees did, you are actually blocking your own self from what God intends for you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He knows that you're weak. He knows that you will make mistakes, and he knows these things. And if you try and be rigid because you're going to hold to the letter of the law, you may be hamstrung by your own.
Yeah.
By your own methods, I guess. I don't know what to say there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I realize that, you know, it's like the other day I was sitting quietly, because this hour has been about being calm. I was sitting quietly and calm. And when I say that, meditative, you might say. And then doubt came knocking at the door and says, well, you're doing this and you don't know what the hell you're doing. Maybe so-and-so is right. And that maybe you, this, that, and the other. And then so all of a sudden doubt started creeping in. And I sat there for a second. I said, well, I guess I'm going to find out, because I feel in my soul I'm supposed to do this. And the moment I know, I can change directions.
Sure.
And nothing is set in stone. I can change directions. And but then they, you know, the pride goeth before the fall thing comes and all.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, these dialogues with the devil, so to speak, they're not healthy. That's why the calmness and just to watch, sit quietly and watch like a cat at a gopher hole, I used to say. Till I saw a cat at a gopher hole and actually saw him catch the gopher.
Just pow and drag it out.
Yeah. And he just grabbed it and he just walked away. Not like, I got him. He just walked away with this gopher wriggling in his mouth. And I thought to myself, man, I can learn a lot from that cat. I've heard that story, that saying all my life, and now I witnessed it. And it's so I witnessed the other side of it is still stay calm, because now he's got a meal.
There you go.
He's got a meal.
That's right.
So anyway, all right. So the lesson of the hour is the superpower. If we have a superpower for this hour, it is stay calm. Rudyard Kipling said it, I think, best. If you can keep your head about you when all else are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you shall be a man, my son, is what he said at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ifs. But I'm learning the superpower of staying calm, because guess what? If I let my own ideas just sit back and watch the power of God, my own ideas seem so stupid in comparison to what then is shown to me.
Yeah.
And the miracles, the amazing grace of our Creator and our Savior. You just have to be in awe.
It's a good thing. That's right.
All right. We'll be right back with another hour, so stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
All hell is just about to break loose in your country. We've lost our moral compass. In the last days, a good book says, perilous times will come, and it's coming here.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
All right, hour two of the program, Perilous World Radio. And yes, it is a perilous world. It is, and it has been, and it always, I think, is going to be. Just like if you're an insect or a baby deer, and you're walking along just looking, and the world is looking at you, and they see this beautiful baby deer or a little butterfly flying around, something's going to come by and snatch it up and eat it if it's not aware. So this awareness that we talk about on this program is to keep you safe.
Well, so Brian Botel, the conversation of, you know, being calm. And I'll tell you, as a guy who's done combat sports for, you know, a good chunk of my lifetime.
Yeah.
Brian's
got two black belts and two different forms of martial arts.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's true.
Combat sports.
And so when you get in and it truly is, the guy who wins is the guy who's not out of breath. The guy who wins is the guy who is calm when when somebody else is, you know, putting a storm on you of everything. And if you can keep your head about you and keep your, you know, and disregard the pain in the moment and just keep your calm, you will win so many times, you know, so many more times than if you're one who just is super reactionary.
Yeah.
And so it's always fun to, like, when I'm sparring or something, to spar against somebody who's real, you can tell they're anxious with me in the, you know, when we're getting ready to fight, because they, you know, they're shaky and they're, you know, they're really twitchy and they're really tense. And you can kind of just kind of go to, you know, at them and watch them just, yeah, you know, and you can kind of play around in the racquetball court of their head, you know, you know, and you get inside and you can kind of mess with it. And it's fun because, again, what you have in that situation, you have the advantage of being calm.
It's the superpower.
It is a superpower. It really is. And it's also true, and you're relating it back in the last hour to, you know, Amazing Grace. You know, it's, here's the great thing about Amazing Grace. And if you know God and you are familiar with that song, I'm telling you, you can't sing it and not just have tears run down your face. But when you're doing this and you realize that I am not standing before God or anything else in my life, really, by my own doing, I am everything I'm doing, and every opportunity I have, both the successes and the trials, are a grace to me. And when you recognize that, when you recognize the amazing grace of the challenges in front of you, you sit there and go, man, you know, my shoes are worn out, but then you sit there and go, thank you, Lord, that I have feet.
Right.
You know?
I saw a man that had no shoes till I saw a man that had no feet.
Correct.
No, I was sad when I had no shoes till I saw a man that had no feet.
Correct.
Right.
The gospel is a complete paradigm shift in all things. When we recognize his sovereignty and his goodness, the two have to be paired together.
You said something about that before the show started. Dig into that just for a moment. What do you mean by that? I mean, of course, it seems natural.
So the idea that God is sovereign, meaning that although men and women and nations and the devil and all kinds of things, they have their schemes and their plans, but they all exist because God enables them to exist, right? They're all move, the Apostle Paul would say, in him we live and move and have our being. And so is the Christian idea of the universe is that there's not a molecule that moves anywhere outside of his divine control. control. So he gives it permission, and it's it moves because mm-hmm. he's given it the energy. Which that if that's true, and then we look at all the bad things in the world, then we want to get angry, and the closer that those bad things come to home to our personal life, we want to we start getting angry at God. Well, then this is God's fault. Well, if he's in control, then this war's God's fault, and my struggles are God's fault, and everything like that. You go, no, that's not the way he's described it. And here's the other thing about it. See, it's you'll go down this dark place if we only think of his sovereign control over all things alone, and we don't connect that to the goodness of his character, mm-hmm. that he's a good God, that every standard that we have of goodness, everything that we think about what makes something good comes from him. We compare it to him in mm-hmm. some way. And so where's the higher standard? You know, show me what religion or what place in the universe, what society has a higher standard of goodness of right and wrong. There's none that compares to the good to the goodness of God described in scriptures and his idea of goodness in the world. And so those two things work together.
Well, and the fact that Jesus lived out that kind of beautiful grace.
Exactly.
So in a man like you and me.
So when we sit world. So when we sit and we go, well, if God's so good, then why am I suffering? Why am I going through this suffering? Right. And you go, well, I'm not sure why, because that's a big question. God may have, you know, millions of purposes in why any of us are suffering. But here's something we can take off the table. We can take off the table the possibility that God just doesn't care about our suffering. Because God came into the world in human flesh and became one of us to suffer because to redeem us from our suffering. He came in because he cares about our suffering. So whatever his reasoning is, it's not because he doesn't care.
I always, you whenever you bring that up, it always makes me go, but why then? Was he talking to himself? Because then I have to think he's crazy if he was talking to himself.
Oh, this is interesting because so Christianity is an understanding of the God of the Bible in that we understand that the Bible presents God as a Trinity. So God is...
Is that word in the Bible anywhere?
It's not in the Bible, but neither is cell phone. And somehow we have reasons to, you know, we still think that God can tell us what to do with our cell phone and stuff like that, right? And neither is speed limit. But, you know,
I will tell you though, I love you.
Yeah.
There's probably not another man I love much more. But I always, that one, the Trinity.
Yeah, yeah.
It always makes me step back and go.
Totally understand that,
though. I just have a hard time with that part of it. He sent his son, his only begotten son.
What? Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
Sent his son.
Yep.
Only
yep.
begotten son.
It's a complete
Don't
look.
Get me going.
I completely understand. And this is, you know, I mean, it's a hard doctrine to get your head around. But it's not hard to demonstrate from the Bible that this is the way he describes himself. And so even the language that he uses to describe himself is relational. And so it's a, you know, even says, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself.
Yes, but that has also been transcribed from Hebrew to English, to this, to that.
But it's not impossible to discover. What did it say? What did it mean?
I get that. But the principles are still good. So it doesn't, I don't usually tend to try and argue these points too much.
Sure.
Because the principles of Jesus and God, they go together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Obviously, don't have one without the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have Jesus without God, and
right.
God created Jesus for us, for the man. And then he, in my mind, he spoke to his Father often, and he gave us, you know, even the words that were a father in heaven.
So here's the thing, and you're right. Jesus is the way that we learned the fatherness of right. God.
Watch your time here.
So
try and finish this conversation in 12 seconds.
It's a big conversation. But here's the fun about it. Here's the fun. I understand it's big to understand. But I'm telling you,
if does that make you bigger than me because you understand?
No, I spent more time at it than you have. It's okay, man. You know, it's what I do, you know.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
It's all right. Good.
We'll take a break and argue some more.
Be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Masters. How do you like being called a statistic? Well, that's what you are, because statistically, the odds are against you. That's why my dad started well over 50 years ago to understand why people do the things they do. And that's why he wrote his first book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well. Let me read something from the foreword of the book. Our path of existence depends on our choice in this matter. By not choosing rightly or not knowing how, we continue responding to a compulsive external tug on our senses, which causes us the agony of rebelling against or conforming to what only appears to be right. Pavlov demonstrated that dogs would respond increasingly to repeated stimuli with data and feeling, and eventually, idea alone could produce the reaction. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. You need to get the book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well and begin to use the Be Still and Know exercise as taught by my dad. If you go to the FHU.com website and listen to the Be Still and Know exercise, this exercise is very simple. You can listen to it before you buy it. Go to FHU.com and listen to Be Still and Know. And then also for the military, we have coping strategies. So there's no intrusion on your privacy. You can listen to the coping strategies. Feel what it feels like to be in control again. Go to the FHU.com website. That's FHU.com. The name of the book is How Your Mind Will Make You Well by Roy Masters. And Be Still and Know, the exercise. Both available at FHU.com. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. Or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Brian Boteller, one of my favorite human beings in this planet. And
hey, you're mine too. You're one of my favorites in the whole planet.
Wait, not
planet
one of. I you said you're mine and then you changed it. You doubted yourself okay. And said one of.
Well, you know. Am I? I have to throw my wife in there. I mean, I'm sure that I assumed that Jan holds a slightly higher space.
I have
than
a
me.
Poster on the wall over here that one of the most famous racers in the world wrote to Alan. The best, and with an exclamation point.
The best.
The best. Two words.
Man, if he said it, it must be true.
One of the biggest race car drivers in the world. And then
I don't have any friends that have been told they were the best by race car drivers.
The best. Well, so
never have.
It's on the cover of a blow up of Car and Driver magazine because I was there representing Car and Driver magazine.
Never been on the cover of.
Well, I wasn't on the cover, but he signed the cover and he put the best. I'm going to show it to you, but when you leave. And because you're going to leave and not come back because I'm the,
not
the obviously the best, but I have it in writing over there.
That's right.
The other race car driver that was next to him, I slid it across. I go, would you sign this also? And he looks and it's Car and Driver magazine. Of course he will. Right. He says, of course. He looks at what the other guy wrote and he because and right under it, he writes to Alan, one of the best. I go, excuse me. You just downgraded me. That's right. I am the best.
I was the best.
And you know what? He is a better race car driver than you.
Yeah.
And they started laughing.
That's funny.
And I got that going for me.
I like it.
So you're going to downgrade me? I'm going to downgrade you. So anyway, there. Got that going.
Well, I can't argue with a race car driver. You're the best, man. You're the best.
Anyway, life has put me in so many strange places and so many difficult places. And I used to think to myself, you know what? Anything is possible through me. And I thought, through me, you know, Farnelli Jones said I was the best.
Well, there you
gave his name. And I was like, so I guess I can do anything. And you've heard before, you can do anything you put your mind to, right?
And we
can. But not without God.
No, it's true. And there's plenty of things that I might put my mind to that, I mean, my homeless shelter is full of guys that put their minds to things that they can't do.
Right, you know, like taking something that ain't theirs.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. You know, you get a 6 foot or 5 foot, 5 foot six guy who wanted to be an NFL player, you know, or something, or, you know, an NBA player, you know, or whatever.
No, it's like, but then there's Rudy. Remember Rudy?
Yeah, sure.
From Notre Dame?
Yeah, I
met Rudy. Matter of fact, you see that football right over there?
What's
it say on it? Yeah. To Allen, the best. Can you see it? Right over there. Rudy, if you ever saw the movie Rudy.
Yeah.
He gave me a football.
That's awesome.
Wrote on it to the best. So I know I'm the best.
There you go. Why argue?
All these people of the world have told me. So I started believing it after a while.
Go. Hey,
and then you know what's funny? It's like the emperor's clothes, new clothes, right?
Yeah.
The emperor actually thought he had the coolest outfit on.
Hey.
That was me.
Yeah.
Because the whole world was telling me I was the best.
Yeah.
Except my brothers and my dad and my mom and my wife and, you know, people that knew me, they're like, you're the emperor's new clothes.
Let me pop that bubble for you there. Yeah.
But, you know, you go through life and you look at your life. You look back upon your life.
Yeah.
And you watch a movie like that movie. What was that one we just saw?
I Can Only Imagine or The Great Awakening.
You got to watch. Both of them are good. But this new one also, I Can Only Imagine. Watch both. I haven't seen the first one, but I heard it was also good.
Yeah.
But the second one was really good. And I realized that, you know, this guy, he was a big rock star, you know, a Christian rock star.
Yeah.
And winning all these awards and had a bad relationship with his dad. And, you know, here it doesn't matter who you are. The whole world will hold you up and praise you and lift you up and tell you how good you are. And then till you come back to reality, his little boy had something he had to deal with his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he became like he became obsessed with keeping his son alive, which was killing his son.
Ugh.
So that's kind of the part of this movie.
Yeah.
And he then would have flashbacks to how his father was this drunken, rotten man. And how he eventually overcame that toward the end of his life. And there's like nothing you could do. But the world is so well designed to trick us. It started with Adam and Eve being tricked.
Yep.
You can be God.
Yep.
And you wake up one day and you go, I am not God. I'm nothing. My dad used to say to me, I would say to him when I was a teenager, compared to all my other friends, I am the best. There it is again.
Yeah.
The best.
Right.
And I was. Compared to my friends, I was the best at life. I was smart. I was an entrepreneur. I didn't drink and smoke pot and do all the dumb things. I didn't carouse and go out with girls. I wasn't a maniac.
Yeah.
In high school, I remember I was telling my dad, why are you so tough on me? Compared to my friends, I'm the best. And my dad looks at me and I know you know this one. You think you're the best? You want to compare yourself to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that's what we really have to do over and over and over and over again, is say, you know what? I think I'm smart. I think I made a good deal. And then you think, well, Jesus didn't make a good deal. He died. Right? He said, all right, God, I'll go. That was a bad deal. He died. But he got resurrected because he was obedient. He was the life. He was the one man in this whole story of humanity.
Yeah.
That was obedient to a T.
Yep.
And the thing is that we are always trying to be better than him, better than anybody, the best. You know, that whole stupid thing. When the reality is, I realize now that the people that I have the most respect for in life, when you find somebody that you really respect, it's somebody that is humble.
Yeah.
Somebody that is meek, like, you know, a janitor. You see somebody that's been doing that same job for 40 years. It always has a good attitude, always wants to help you.
Yeah.
You love that person.
Yeah.
We don't have that. I mean, I do, but you need to get it.
I know. I'm trying to learn, man. I'm trying to learn.
We don't have that. We don't have any, hardly, you know, it's like to find out what it's like to be a man of service to your fellow human beings.
You know, every now and then I'll, and it's the funny thing about humility. It's the most, it's the one good character trait that hides itself. So the minute that you discover it, you've destroyed it. So, you know, you know, one says, I'm the humblest guy I know. Man, I'm way humbler than you are. I'm way humbler than anybody. But every now and then you find these moments where you have humility and you did the right thing. And the hard thing is not to go tell everybody about it. Look at this humble thing I did. It was so cool. Everybody look, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always try to like make sure that I'm not setting myself up as the highest standard of goodness. You know, I'm always like, let me point to others that I've seen and people that I've known. And of course, in all things point to Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so I just go, you know, it's about him. And the truth is if there's anything good in us, it's really Christ working it out in us. You know, he's teaching us and modeling us a way to live that reflects him.
Hang tight, everybody. We'll take a break and be back with Colonel Tony Monaco in the Patriot Outreach segment. Be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
All right, welcome back. It is the Perilous World Radio Patriot Outreach segment now. Colonel Tony Monaco is on the line, and our special guest, Dr. Chase Spears, U.S. Army promotable, retired, also host of Finding Your Spine podcast. You can find that anywhere you find podcasts. Tony, you have a topic. Tony the Tiger, take it away.
Well, first of all, when we wake up, we notice that the world is going crazy. And the thing is when I was teaching college, I would tell my students, either you are running your life or I'll guarantee someone else will. And Thomas Jefferson, a man that needs no introduction, once said, a man with courage is a majority. So either you're running, conquering, or being conquered. What say you, Chase?
Well, I think Thomas Jefferson hit the nail on the head that we are, one thing that we have totally lost sight of in the entirety of my lifetime, and I'm sure it goes back well beyond that, is this fake notion that you can just always find a peace and then be static and sit back and nothing will ever happen and life can just be peaceful without there being strong men on the gates to defend it. And when I look out and I survey the land, I see the fallacy of that. I look at what's happening in Great Britain right now,
right,
with it being quite literally overrun by the Third World. It's insane. The story of that young man, Henry Nowak, just boils my blood. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the show, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this young man who was murdered, stabbed to death by this completely lunatic sick named Vikram Digwa, and the police showed up. And the murderer said, oh, well, the kid over there who's bleeding out, he called me a bad word. He called me a racist term. And the police handcuffed the dying boy who's telling the police, I've been stabbed and I can't breathe. And the police are mocking him, saying, well, no, we don't think you've been stabbed. We don't believe that you can't breathe. And they sit there and they let that young man die. Why? Because they are far more concerned about the idea that there's some offended third world minority than the fact that there is a young man who's a heritage Brit who's dying. These police are traitors. It's not they were. They are traitors, just like Keir Starmer, the prime minister there. He's a traitor. And, and what does this come from? This comes from this DEI complex. And I remember as a young man hearing back before things were completely insane, hearing, you know what, ideas are harmless. We allow all the ideas in. We allow all ideas to be debated. And I used to fall for that logic. I used to fall for that narrative when I was young and dumb. But think back to, let's just use an analogy from a Harry Potter film. They talk about, I don't believe in magic, right? But we're just using an analogy here. They have what they call the good magic, and then they have what's called the dark magic. And the dark magic, you're not supposed to open those books. You're not supposed to speak those spells. That's the dark stuff. It's evil. It's bad. And there's a reason that stuff is like locked away. And really, those books just should have been outright burned. But the producers wouldn't have had a movie if the plot had gone that way.
Right.
It's the same way with this DEI cult mentality. There are some ideas that are so poisonous, so detrimental, so designed to be the instruments of darkness, they should not be spoken. They should not be taught. They should be banned, absolutely. And it, because, why? Because they are literally deadly. We sat back for years and said, well, things are okay. Things are peaceful enough. And we were static. The other side was not static. You are either on the move conquering and regaining your territory and reinforcing, or you are being conquered.
Yeah. You know, a person said to me the other day, I'm thinking about moving, and I get this a lot. The area where I live, it's not good. And I don't know what they mean by that a lot of times, but I do, you know? And then I think to myself, well, we've got homeless people here. We've got people that are, you know, dying on the streets, getting murdered, you know, all the same things you have in your town. And then it occurred to me something my dad said when I was young. He says, when you go outside and you see rain clouds, he says, don't you think to take an umbrella? You think to yourself, oh, like, here comes the rain. I better take an umbrella or a jacket or a raincoat. You'll know. And so I said to the person this, you know, and I've gotten this more and more lately because the world is getting darker. As it's getting lighter, it's getting darker, which is funny because there's more people waking up, but it's always darkest before the dawn, right? Mm-hmm. We should know. We should have this knowing, which it's a gift from God to have a knowing and an understanding. And my answer with people now is going to be different because I'm going to say, you will know when it is time to go. If you are walking the correct path of life. So the question is, do we want to walk the correct path of life, the one that God set forth for us, that Jesus exampled for us and talked about and did everything we needed to follow in his footsteps? He is the way. And at this stage of my life, I'm feeling like I will know, because it says, be still and know, right? In that calmness. So the theme of the show today, Chase and Tony, is calm. Within that calmness, within that stillness, that's where we know. That's where God says, be still and know that I am God, and he is everything, and he is the way. And he will show us the way. And it's like, but people want an answer. They want an answer that they can write it down and they can, you know, like in this movie we were talking about, what was the name of that movie?
I Can Only Imagine.
I Can Only Imagine. You guys write that down. I Can Only Imagine. Great movie. The guy would put a big X on his wrist every day to make sure that he had gratitude, even though he was going through some tough times. But we
let me jump.
Yeah, go ahead. We should know. Go ahead.
Now, let me jump in, because we were at a meeting in the a couple of days ago with the Commander General Staff College, and the guy was talking about a test of your civic skills and ability and all that. And I walked up to him afterwards and says, you should have just asked the audience, who voted in the last election? Because there's a famous quote by Albert Einstein. The world is a this is his quote. The world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when someone complains, did you vote in the last election? Did you get involved? You know, those are two things. We had the Senate Majority Leader, and he was asked about the midterms. And he was hamming and hawing. And I raised my hand, and I said, you should be saying, get off your butts and vote. God gave you the power to make a difference. Make a difference.
Yeah. Sadly, the turnout is so apathetic. They don't care. They don't vote. It's a tiny little turnout of our mm-hmm. of our community. People just sit at home. Go ahead.
And that's the key point. Yeah. When I was doing the elections down in L.A., this was years back, there was 1 million eligible voters, of which 500,000 registered, of which 1/2 of those went to the polls, which of 1/2 of those actually determined the election. Your one vote turned out to be worth 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because you're sitting there whining, complaining because you didn't do what God gave you, the power to make a difference, well, stop whining and be involved.
Yeah. Chase, you're either conquering or being conquered. That was your topic. Give me a couple minutes on that.
Well, that's it. And I look around and I want to add to what the Colonel just said about the role and responsibility of Christians and civics. And I've talked about this a lot lately. This is a discussion I've even been having with some church leaders here locally as recently as yesterday about what is the role of Christians. And there are some people who say, well, it's all in the sovereignty of God, kind of this descends from this old philosophy of, we call it Deus ex machina. Mahina, I should say, which is, you know, God wound up the machine and just lets it loose and he'll do what he wants to do. And that's a fatalistic worldview. God is sovereign. God does move the hearts of kings. God is active in the affairs of men. But one of the magnificent things about the order of creation is he invites us, he tasks us to be involved, to play a role. This is not just fatalism. When you look through scripture, I just finished teaching a course on Judges. You want to talk about a book that just is full of God having sovereignty and having a plan, but also calling men and women to be a part of that plan. Correct. Think about Moses, right? God using him. Mm-hmm. And there are many times where God quite literally shows up in the burning bush in scripture. And there are many times God puts very clearly on the hearts of people, this is what you're to do. And then there are other times God has just given us common sense. Right. And we can see with our own eyes, there is something very broken in front of us. There is something very evil in front of us. There is something very wrong in front of us, and we have the ability to do something about it. Therefore, common sense and biblical principle dictate that we can, should, and must do something about it. We have to get rid of this sense of what I call surrender theology, that, well, the rapture is going to come and Christ will all set it all right, so we have no responsibility. And yes, the Lord will one day set all things right, and praise be to him for it, and I look forward to that day. But we are put in this time, in this place, with these talents to do something with it. And
preach
we must.
It. Yep. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
There's nothing more frustrating dealing with a Christian who thinks, why polish the brass on the Titanic?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because God put you on this thing, and how do you know you're on the Titanic? Get in and start getting to work.
Right. Now, when God
last thought.
Wait a sec. I'll give it to you. When God said to Charlton Heston, take your sandals from off your feet. Moses.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. You got 15 seconds, Tony.
No, I was going to say John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, did say, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual.
Yeah. Hold tight. Let's hold these guys over. Okay. They're worth it. Hold tight.
Oh, no. I could have saved that for the next round. Oh.
Be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind. Is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them, and you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. Time and time again, I have observed time and time again the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. Here's your host.
All right, welcome back. Patriot Outreach, patriotoutreach.org on the web. Colonel Tony Monaco is on the line, and U.S. Army Major, promotable, retired, Dr. Chase Spears. For the Patriot Outreach segment, we're talking about, just some good stuff. And I'm Alan Masters, and Brian Boteller's here from the Gospel Rescue Mission. And, you know, I will tell you, the gal that works for me has worked for me about 15 years, who she puts this together for the radio stations, because we do this show live on Rumble and X and YouTube and all these different platforms. And then it gets packaged for the radio station so they can have their commercials. Years and years ago, Stephanie said to me, "You need to be more involved in your little town." And I said, "No, they don't want anything to do with me. They don't want anything to do with me." And finally, I started to get more involved in my little town. And I meet guys like Brian Boteller, and I meet other people from other churches, and I meet other people that are just workaday Joe, and people, I meet all these people, and I love them, and they love me. And this town is not what I perceived it to be. Because I thought, you know, they're not going to, who cares about me? When I'm judging, we're busy judging ourselves. Yeah. We can't do the job that God gave us to do. And if Moses wouldn't have been obedient, even though he didn't want to do it, he was a stuttering guy, and, you know, and God says, "Well, take your brother. He's got a good voice. He can go with you." It's like it's a thousand ways if you want to, but not one if you don't. And if you say you can't, then you won't. And I got involved with this little town, and now I'm like, involved with this little town. I'm on the board of the Main Street.
All of a sudden, you're kind of a big deal.
I mean, you could say that, but I'm enjoying it.
It's good, man. You know, it's the need to step up and do the thing that God's calling to use the gifts and talents that God's given you to cause the flourishing and the order of the community around you and the world around
you. So thanks to Stephanie. Anyway, go ahead, Colonel.
Well, the thing I have to share is my wife's frustration because I wrote a campaign check to you for a...
Oh, for $1.
But see, the point is it hasn't cleared yet.
I know.
And so it's screwing up her...
It's pinned to the wall. Gosh, that's funny. Well, no, I tell you what, the mayor job doesn't pay anything.
Nope.
It's a thankless job, which is interesting. You would think the mayor of a town should get some kind of a paycheck, but no.
Mayor, city councilors, none of those are paid.
City councilors, right. Yeah. And I'm watching, like you guys are watching what's happening in Washington, D.C. and all around the country, and it's happening in every little small town in USA as well.
Yep.
Total upheaval. It is a battle right now, Chase, between good and evil and... That's it. It's a battle between good and evil. The policies of the city and the town and all that, they are underpinned by either good or evil.
And think about this. You know, God calls us as men to be dragon slayers. How disappointed would we be in a world without dragons? I mean, the fact is we can't sit there and be mad that there's enemies to fight and battles to win. We are called to be warriors. We're called to go out and do these, you know, to make set things right. And so God has created, has allowed us to come along in this time, in this day, has prepared us for now and the monsters of our world. And so it's now is the time that we have to get up and you know, get off the
all
deck
it takes
chairs
for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. All right, you got two and a half minutes. Go.
Here's the audience. If you're in the audience, first question you ask, am I registered to vote? If you did, you're on the right path. Did I vote in the last primary election? Then you're on another right track. Then did I participate in some way? You know, that's an easy way to start slaying dragons. Is to get involved and be involved and make a difference. You'd be surprised of how many. Look at the mayor race down in L.A. The guy got frustrated because his home burned down, all these places burned down. No one didn't get involved, so he decided to run on the race. Well, that's what it takes.
Yeah,
people deciding to try to make a difference.
Dr. Chase Spears, you got your 1 minute of fame here. Go for it.
My 1 minute, let's go. Brian, I want to really tag on to something you said. The fact that we're dragon slayers and we need dragons, we need to never lose sight. This is part of our ongoing sanctification. Amen. This is part of the testing. This is part of the building out the character. God allows us to be here in this place and this time. He allows us to face these challenges in order to build us up and to see what will we do? Will we stand? Will we be voices for righteousness? Will we be strong? Or will we be weak, wring our hands and say, woe is us? And history is written based on those who stood up, right? Those who are praised in scripture are those who stood up. Anyone who dismisses calls for this as theonomy, that's a cheap, unintellectual way out of engaging the debate. And by the way, we don't need you if that's where you're sitting. We need Christians who are willing to stand. We need Christians who are willing to say, you know what? The Lord has allowed us to be here. The Lord has allowed us to face this challenge. Glory be to God. We're going to persevere through it, and we're going to be sharpened because of it.
That was a minute and 14 seconds. I'm going to have to edit that somehow down to 1 minute. Dr. Chase Spears, I'll leave you with this. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate all you do. Thank you for your service to our country. And thanks for getting Tony up out of bed in the morning because he's a late sleeper. Colonel Tony Monaco, thank you, sir, for all that you do. He's still there in the background, shaking his head.
I still need some widow mites, so.
All right. He needs widow mites. He needs some donations.
He needs some widow ones and some big ones.
PatriotOutreach.org. Brian Boteller.
GrantsBashMission.org.
GrantsBashMission.org and FHU.com. I'm Alan Masters. Thanks for listening.
And
we'll see you next
time. God bless you for that, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.